Hello, everybody. We had it working multiple times, and then it crashed right before 11 o'clock. Yeah, can you hear me? So if you're on the church website, it should be, yeah, it's going right now. I'm going to give everybody a little bit of time to find the new connection, get on. We're just going to wait a few seconds to let some folks get online. Lucy, are you on? We're going to wait a few more minutes. We've got people slowly connecting. When you connect, go ahead and type in a comment so that people know who's here. And that'll let folks know you're here. I'm just, while we're waiting on some folks to connect, I am just checking, making sure the connection's still working. But everything looks good at the moment. We're just going to wait a little bit longer to, we're slowly getting some folks to connect, and sorry about the complications. It worked fine last night. It worked fine this morning, and 2 minutes before 11, everything crashed. So hopefully that won't happen again. I'm not sure what caused the disconnect. Well, let's go ahead and get started, everybody. Again, I am sorry. I thought using Facebook Live would be better. I thought maybe we'd get a chance to do this live, because the last time we were online, I was recording them ahead of time, which is not nearly as interactive or fun, but this is kind of a headache, so maybe I'm not going to do it again. But I am glad that you who are here are with us. Let me put this screen back up. We'll just welcome everybody. If you could comment in the box so that people know that you are here, that would be helpful. That way we'll know that everybody will know who's on here. Let me also just let you know that if you aren't on our contact information list, or you've had an email or a phone number change recently, send your name and your email to that number, and we'll get that updated on our church records. Another announcement I need to make is that because we did not know we were going to be transitioning to online until late Friday, we were not able to get all the items that we were going to hand out for the business meeting this evening. We weren't able to get all of those electronically. And so we're going to have to delay our business meeting until next week, and we will let you know as soon as we'll let you know more about that next week, but we're going to be transitioning. If you could, we have lots of prayer requests. If you have a prayer request that you'd like to share with everybody, we'll take a few seconds to wait and see if you can type in your request, if it's something that we don't know about. While you're typing in your request, I know that we have the Manning family, especially Katie, to be in prayer for as she started her treatment this past week. We have, as far as I know, we have 6 members currently that have tested positive for COVID, and we need to have them in our prayers. That would be George and Judy West, Aletha Marler, Arlene White, and Mark and LT Wynn, and also Alan Mathis. Yesterday I was told that he was in the hospital with COVID, and then I believe there have been some others in recent days that are not members of our church, or but they are connected in ways like Alan is, that also have tested positive. Trying to look, I don't see that. Let's see. All right, so I don't see any other prayer requests listed. Let me go ahead and lead us in a prayer. If you have a prayer request and you want to share it before this evening, we're going to have a prayer meeting using Zoom, which is, as you know, more interactive. I just wasn't sure if I was going to be able to preach on Zoom with the possibility of people forgetting to turn their mic off or something. And so wanted to try this on Facebook Live. But let me lead us in a prayer and then we'll have our message. Father, you are a gracious God. We thank you that you care for your people, that you love us. God, we just come before you at this time where there's an increase in infections because of this disease, Lord. We know that at some point on the horizon there is hope of possible vaccines that sound very promising, but God, we're in the midst of this current time, and we just pray for your protection, your healing, your guidance, Lord. Father, I pray that you would be with all of those that we've mentioned that have tested positive for COVID. We pray that, God, your healing grace would be with them and you would protect them. Father, we pray for others that are in quarantine because they've been in close contact with those. We pray that, God, you would protect them from also becoming positive. And Father, we just pray for Alan Mathis in the hospital with a serious case of COVID. We pray that you would give wisdom to his doctors, that you would help him, heal him. And Father, we pray that you would be with Katie, that you would heal her body, give wisdom to her doctors as they work and as they work with her and treat her. We just thank you that you are a gracious God that will heal and protect and give comfort. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, so if you will get your Bible, we're going to have our last sermon from 2 Chronicles. We're going to be looking at chapter 6, verse 12 through chapter 7, verse 3. We're gonna look at those verses, and the title of the sermon is Where Heaven and Earth Meet. Let me change this, and there is a place in South America, in the country of Bolivia, called Solar de Uyuni. It's a salt flat, and you can see it here from a satellite image. It's a salt flat, but what makes this salt flat unique is that it is 4,086 square miles, and it is at an altitude of 11,995 feet in the Andes Mountains. During the rainy season, A few inches of water will often stand on the salt flat. And when that happens, you have incredible visual images that happen. It literally looks like heaven and earth are meeting. This person's just walking on a few inches of water, but the way it reflects makes it seem that heaven and earth have come together. And that's what we're going to look at in this passage. This passage is about the consecration of the temple. The temple was set on a mountain. When Moses received the commandments at Sinai, it was on a mountain. Throughout history, not just in the Bible, but among others, other cultures, there's always been this draw, this desire to be at high places and to believe that is the place where heaven and earth come together. You can think about, for example, in Greece, the different acropolises, the different temples set way up on mountains that you often will see pictures of, or maybe you've had a chance to visit. But we're going to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 6, at this idea of where heaven and earth meet. We're going to begin in verse 12, and it says, "Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel and spread out his hands." And then it says, "Now he had made a bronze altar, or a bronze platform, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide, and 3 cubits high, and had placed it in the center of the outer court. He stood on the platform and then knelt down before the whole assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. He said, 'Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or on earth. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants who continue wholeheartedly in your way. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it as it is today. Now, Lord, the God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, the promises you made to him when you said, 'You shall never fail to have a successor to sit before me on the throne of Israel, if only your descendants are careful in all that they do to walk before me according to my law, as you have done. And now, Lord, the God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David come true. But will God really dwell on earth with humans? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you. How much less this temple that I have built? Yet, Lord, my God, give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence. May your eyes be open toward this temple day and night, this place of which you said you would put your name there. May you hear the prayer your servant prays toward this place. Hear the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. When anyone wrongs their neighbor and is required to take an oath, and they come and swear the oath before the altar in this temple, then hear from heaven and act. Judge between your servants, condemning the guilty and bringing down on their heads what they have done. and vindicating the innocent by treating them in accordance with their innocence. When your people Israel have been defeated by an enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back and give praise to your name, praying and making supplication before you in this temple, all right, you didn't want to respond. It's kind of hard to preach and click and do all the other stuff. Then hear from heaven and forgive the sins of your people Israel and bring them back to the land you gave them and their ancestors. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, and when they pray toward this place and give praise to your name and turn from their sin because you have afflicted them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel. Teach them the right way to live and send rain on the land you gave your people for an inheritance. When famine or plague come to the land, or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, or when enemies besiege them in any of their cities, whatever disaster or disease may come, and when a prayer or plea is made by anyone among your people, Israel, being aware of their afflictions and pains and spreading out their hands toward this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place. Forgive and deal with everyone according to all they do, since you know their hearts, for you alone know the human heart, so that they will fear you and walk in obedience to you all the time they live in the land you gave their ancestors. As for the foreigner who does not belong to your people Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, when they come and pray toward this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place. Do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your own people Israel, and may know that this house I have built bears your name. When your people go to war against their enemies, wherever you send them, and when they pray to you toward this city you have chosen and the temple I have built for your name, then hear from heaven their prayer and their plea and uphold their cause. When they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and give them over to the enemy, who takes them captive to a far land, far away or near, and if they have a change of heart in the land where they have been held captive, and they repent and plead with you in the land of their captivity, and say, "We have sinned, we have done wrong, and acted wickedly." And if they turn back to you with all their heart and soul in the land of their captivity where they were taken, and pray toward the land you gave their ancestors, toward the city you have chosen, and toward the temple I have built for your name, then from heaven, your dwelling place, hear their prayer and their pleas, and uphold their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Now, my God, may your eyes be open and your ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Now arise, Lord God, and come to your dwelling place. You and the ark of your might, may your priests, Lord God, be clothed with salvation. May your faithful people rejoice in your goodness. Lord God, do not reject your anointed one. Remember the great love promised to David, your servant. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priest could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire come down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "He is good. His love endures forever." So we want to look at three different ideas that are in this passage that talk about heaven and earth coming together. And the first of these is that our Father in heaven watches over us. Our Father in heaven watches over us. And so in verse 14, we see that it says that there is none like God, neither in heaven above nor here on the earth. And the thing that distinguishes him, according to Solomon, is that he keeps his covenant promises. In fact, what it says is he keeps his covenant of covenant love. The word that's translated love or loving kindness or loyal love is another way some translations will translate it. But it's this idea that God is committed to keeping the promises that he makes. And so it's saying that he keeps his promise of his promise to love. In verse 15, you can see of chapter 6 that Solomon, in verse 15, he says, "You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you promised it. With your hand you have fulfilled it this day." So he's talking about how God had promised David that his son would build a temple. He said, "God, you said it with your mouth, but it was with your hand that you accomplished it today." And then verse 16, he says, "God, you're the same kind of God." He says, "Do it again, God." He says, "Now, Lord, keep for your servant David, my father, the promise you made to him, that you will never fail to have a successor on the throne." So he says, you promised that a son of David would sit on the throne from now and forever. God, keep that promise. He asked God to be faithful to that promise. Verse 20 tells us about this God. It says, as Solomon is praying to God, he says, "May your eyes be open day and night." So he prays that God's eyes would be open on the temple day and night. And then it repeats over and over through the prayer, "And hear what is said at the temple. Hear what is said at the temple." It's strange that you don't have anything about ears at the beginning of this prayer. He focuses on the eyes. He says, "May your eyes be here." And it may be because when you look at verse 30, in one of the prayers, in verse 30, he says that judge everybody according to all they do, since you know their hearts. He's saying, God, you can see the innermost thoughts that we have. You know us better than we know ourselves. And so, God, keep your eyes open. Hear what they're saying, but God, see who is saying it. It is not till we get to verse 40 that you see it say, "Now, my God, may your eyes be open and your ears attentive to the prayers." So what type of God is this that has his eyes on the temple, hearing the prayers of the people directed toward the temple? I'm not going to go through and talk about every one of those parts of that prayer that we read. You can go back and look at the specifics. But I do want to kind of talk about the general ideas of what kind of God is this. He is a God of loyal love. Three times that term, chesed in Hebrew, or loyal love, or loving kindness, however you want to translate it. He is a God that is faithfully loving and committed to the promises he makes. He's also a God that forgives those who repent. He's a God that judges justly the wicked and the innocent. He is a God that will right injustice and release those that are suffering. He's a God that renews life. He's a God that defeats illness and death. He accepts all who seek him, regardless of who they are, whether they're of Israel or of some other nation. He upholds the righteous in their cause, and he returns and restores the repentant, wayward soul. And one last thing that we see about this God, when you look at the types of prayers, they're both prayers for the community as a whole, and they're prayers for individuals. So he's a God that cares both for us collectively and us individually. The second thing that we see here is that when we pray on earth, he hears us. When we pray on earth, he hears us. Solomon sets the example for us and for all of his people. We look at the beginning of the passage that we read, and we see that Solomon turns himself toward the temple, because all the things said, he keeps saying, pray toward the temple. So he turns toward the temple. He humbles himself because he kneels down in front of all the people, and then he spreads his arms up to heaven as he prays. Now, what I want to look at is, from the human side, what are some of the things it talks about in all that prayer that we humans are supposed to do? Well, it talks about we're to confess our sins. It talks about we should have integrity when we make promises. The way Paul puts it in the New Testament is, let your yes be yes, your no, no. We need to make sure that we have integrity in our promises. It talks about we need to learn from God the right ways to live. It says we need to pray for our nation and for our community. It says we need to fear God and walk in obedience. It talks about that we should be witnesses, that we should expand the name of God to all the nations. Or to use the language promised to Abraham, we're to bless all nations. And then one last thing that you can see in this passage is that if we think that God really wants us to go to war, to fight, in the passage it talks about we need to make certain that it's God that has called us to do it, and not just something that we think we should do, or that our culture says we should do, or what. We need to make sure that God has ordained it, if we're ever called, not just necessarily pick up a sword and fight, but fight of any kind. I said Solomon sets the example in this passage, and I want you to look at some verses where Solomon does set the example in this prayer. Sorry, I'm trying to get it to where you can see the whole thing. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud. This is from the very end of chapter 5. And the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Then Solomon said, the Lord has said that he would dwell in a dark place, or in a dark cloud. I have built a magnificent temple for you, a place for you to dwell forever. You see, Solomon was focused on himself at the beginning, right before he starts this prayer. He's thinking about what a magnificent temple he himself has built for God. But partway through the prayer, as he's talking to God, we see in chapter 7 that he says, "But will God really dwell on earth with humans? The heavens, even the highest of the heavens, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built." And so what he's doing there is he is saying that he's repenting of his sin. He's realizing, I was wrong about what I said. I thought I truly understood who God is and what I had done, but God is much greater than anything I have done, and I need to repent of my own pride. So I want to think at the end here about that question. Will God really dwell on earth with humans? So the third thing that we see in this passage is that the temple is the place that joins heaven and earth. The temple joins heaven and earth. As I said at the beginning, humans have always been fascinated with mountains and with high places. Even some structures, like if you look at some of the temples that are built in, if you look at some of the temples that are built in India, I mean, they look like huge mountains the way they're built. This place where Zion, or the temple had been built, was this high place. And it was very much like Zion, or it was very much like Sinai, where Moses had gone to receive the Ten Commandments and taken all the people. So let's look at chapter 6, verse 41. It says, "Now arise, Lord God, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might." So this passage, it's an invocation. If this had been in a pagan temple, this statement about arising and coming to rest, that's how they would invoke their different gods to inhabit or dwell in the idols that they had set up for their God. Now, they don't have idols. The Israelites, God had said to them, never have a graven image, never create some kind of an idol. But they did have the ark that God had given them as the example of his presence. And so the ark had been taken into the temple, and now they're saying, God, come and fill this place, arise and rest. The image is also of a monarch, a king. The king would arise, walk up the steps to his throne, and then seat himself or rest upon the throne. And so it's inviting God to come and to be in his temple. And then in chapter 7, we see the following. Oops. There we go. I thought I had chapter 7 typed, but look in your Bible. Chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. Look at what happens. It says, "When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of God had filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt down on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord. This is very reminiscent of things that happened during the time of Moses. So, for example, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, when the Ten Commandments are given, these are the commandments the Lord proclaimed in a loud voice to your whole assembly, there on the mountain, from out of the fire, the cloud and the deep darkness, which are all mentioned here with Solomon in chapters 5 through 7. And God added nothing more. Then God wrote them on two tablets and gave them to me. When you heard the voice out of the darkness, with the mountain was ablaze with fire, all the leaders of your tribes and your elders came to me, and they said, "The Lord our God has shown us his glory and his majesty, and we have heard his voice from the fire. Today we have seen that a man can live even if God speaks with them." Another passage is in Exodus 20, where we're told that the people remained at a distance after this happened, but Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. He went up onto the mountain with God. Another place is in Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 9, it says, "Moses and Aaron then went into the tent of meeting. When they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Fire came down from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy, and they fell face down." You can see how the chronicler, telling the story of how the fire comes down from heaven, the cloud fills the temple, how the people fall down on their faces rejoicing. He's invoking all these images from the time of Moses. But what is interesting is that Moses is able to go into that cloud. Moses and Aaron go into the tent of meeting right before this passage we just read. But with the priests, they weren't allowed into the temple. The glory filled the temple so much. Now Christ himself, Jesus, is the true temple. Jesus is the place where heaven and earth ultimately came together. And his Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus being in us, make us part of that temple. And so we have a lot of the same imagery in the New Testament. John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the word "dwelt" literally means tabernacled with us. And we have seen his glory, we're told, the glory of the one and only. We're told that the glory of God was visible in Jesus, just like the glory was visible at the temple in Solomon's time. We're also told when Jesus goes with three of his disciples up onto a mountain, and Jesus is transfigured because heaven and earth are meeting right there. We're told that when the voice from heaven speaks to Jesus and to the disciples, that this cloud comes and surrounds them. It's the cloud of the glory of God. And in Pentecost, when the believers are praying and then the Holy Spirit comes down upon them, there are these flames or tongues of fire upon them because they're the offering of God. You are the offering of God. And that's why Paul talks about that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because we are the temple and we need to let the glory of God fill us day after day. And this is what This is what, sorry, I can't switch a bunch of things at the same time, but this is what, how we can read this closing part of the Chronicle story. It says, "May your priest, Lord God, be clothed with salvation. May your faithful people rejoice in your goodness. Lord God, do not reject your anointed one. Remember the great love promised to David, your father, or your servant." So he asks for, he asks God to remember the great loyal love that God had for David, this great love that would fulfill promises. And he says, don't forget your anointed ones. If you look in the Hebrew, it actually says, plural, your anointed ones. It's translated in most English translations as singular because it's thought that this was a scribal error at some point. Partly because when you read the psalm, these two verses are actually from one of the psalms or based on one of the psalms. And there it is a single anointed one. But here he's saying anointed ones. We are the anointed ones. We are the priests who are clothed with salvation. And we are not only clothed with salvation, but it's our job and our duty to go out to others and to spread the salvation of Christ, to clothe others in that same salvation. And if you don't think that he's talking about the priest as some of the anointed ones, that he's only talking about the descendants of Solomon and David who will come after Solomon, that's okay, because in the New Testament, several times, we are called sons of God. We're called the descendants of this great promise that was made to David, that God would have a kingdom that would be ruled over forever by his son, but through us. We're called to do that. And we are also those loyal loved ones, where it says, may your faithful people rejoice. That word faithful is that same word, loyal love. So those full of loyal love, those that are committed to the covenant, to serving God and his promises, let us rejoice because we have a God that is good. So where does heaven and earth meet? It meets in Christ, but collectively together we are the body of Christ. And so God is with us every time that we get together. One specific way that I just want to close, focusing on one thing in this passage that we can do today as priests of salvation, is we can pray for our community and pray for our nation. There's this one verse that's right in the middle of all those different examples Solomon gives. But I want you to look at this. This is in part where it's talking about when plagues come, when epidemics hit. It says, when that happens, and when a prayer or plea is made by anyone of your people, not the priest, not the king, not the community leaders, anybody can pray. And if they will pray, aware of the affliction and the pains, God says that he will hear. We need to be praying people right now during this pandemic, especially the way it's hit our community so hard. James says, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And then here's the important part. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You may not have a role other than God calling you to pray for people. But we're called to pray for our church members that are sick. We're called to pray for our community, those that are sick in the community, as well as protection for our state, our nation, our world as well. We need to pray for healthcare workers because they are at wit's end in some places around the country and the world. We need to pray for scientists that they continue to do amazing things because they have committed all their resources to it. We need to pray for government leaders because this is a difficult time for them because what they sometimes need to do is not necessarily what's the popular thing to do. And they need wisdom and prudence about how to do what needs to be done and no more. But we need to pray for them and pray for our communities that will listen to what they ask us to do. Let's pray. Father, we want to come to you, Lord, and God, we thank you that in your Son Jesus, heaven and earth have come together, that in him all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. And God, we thank you that you are in the process of reconciling heaven and earth through the cross. God, help us to be your temple. Help us to be your priest clothed in salvation. Help us to be those of loyal love who rejoice and shout out and proclaim the good news to others, that all the world might know that you're a God that hears and answers. Father, help us in these trying times, Lord, to be healthy. God, be with those that are ill. We pray that your goodness would be with them, your healing would be upon them. Father, we pray for our nation that you would take this plague away, the way that David prayed, and you heard his prayers. God, the way you tell us that the prayers of a righteous person are effective, Lord God, we pray. We need to pray without ceasing until this virus is no more. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, that we pray. Amen. All right, so if you had any decisions that you wanted to share with anyone, text those to the church message phone number, 844-394-2748, or just reply to the text you received earlier. I want you to have a great week, and I just want to point out to you that at 5 tonight, we're going to have an evening prayer meeting. It will be on Zoom, which everybody's much more familiar with, and I've not ever been kicked off at the last minute with that one. At that point, you can tell me whether this worked well or not, if we need to try it one more time. I think I know what happened that kicked us off at the last minute, but or if we want to try it on Zoom or what we want to do. But we will see you this afternoon at 5. Thank you very much for being here, everybody. Have a good day.